listening to Tales of the Forsaken, a live play fake horror game by Noble Jester Productions.
Then the traveler shall come, bearing the beacon of light. Rin's true children shall be blessed under the light it gives.
So, Verboden, you've been traveling for a couple of days in the caravan with these three lead dragons, and you have brought along your dragonkin group. They have been assigned to you almost as kind of your followers, your honored guests. At least for now, they have continued traveling with you, and you've been heading toward the capital of the Haven, which is called Beacon of Hope. And you begin to approach this capital, and you can see it off in the distance, and it's full of just massive buildings. Looks like they are very much like pyramids, most of them. Things that can be built through hard labor and, you know, without a ton of skill. But it seems like the builders have been going for size rather than fanciness. I don't know if that's a word, but
it's not like intricate, really cool architectural style. Like, there's not much style to it. It's
correct.
It's just functional.
Correct.
Okay.
Functional and huge. But it's, you know, most of these buildings have been made out of kind of a smoothed white stone. You would assume there's some kind of a quarry around here. And as you enter this city, you can see that there are buildings around that are still under construction, and there are just crews of dragonkin that are working on these buildings, doing various things. It's a pretty busy city. You know, you walk by a market area with people buying and selling and trading things. It's, you know, just a very busy city. And there's a lot of kind of cheers and a lot of people lining the streets as this group passes through. Eventually, you make your way into the center of the city, and you see really the first ornate building that you've encountered. There's a large building that has kind of been created to look like a mountain with a dragon curling around it, and it looks like these large set of stairs go up the mountain and into the mouth of the dragon. You're led up into this building, and the scales of this dragon, as you get closer, you know, you can see kind of the light reflecting off of these scales, and there are a mixture of what looks like various either colored glasses or gemstones of some kind that make up these scales, and even some panels of, looks like, kind of burnished metal. You know, there's some gold and silver and various things, but mostly these colored scales, and so it's kind of gives a rainbow appearance to this dragon. And you are led up and in, and then down kind of in a pathway through this mountain, through the mouth of the dragon, and then down into this carved mountain, and eventually led into a huge chamber. And as you are walking into this chamber, you can see that there are tables set all along the sides, and there are people sitting at these tables, eating and drinking, and interspersed throughout these people are dragons. Just kind of out in the open, full dragon form, and just the dragons you can see. There's probably 10 in this room, scattered around the room, but you have no idea how many of the others could be dragons. And at the back of the room, there's just a large hoard of gems, coins, objects, all these things, and kind of set on top of and in this hoard are three identical thrones to the ones you've seen. And then sitting back above those three thrones is another throne. And it's fairly plain, but it's a very large chair that looks like it's been made in such a way that the back is removable, and, you know, so potentially it could be almost like a resting place for a dragon's head. And the, you know, these three heirs of Rin come in and they seat themselves on these thrones, and you're kind of led up to in front of them along the sieve. And then you see stepping out from the crowd off to the side is a familiar figure. Hestian walks over, and he walks up to you, ignoring you, walks up to Sieve, and he's kind of looks annoyed, and he says,
"Well, what are we doing here? Why have you brought me to this place? I've been waiting, and I think this entire show is a waste of time."
And Sieve holds up a hand, and he says,
"Hestian, my friend, please calm yourself. We have brought a guest here along with us. There are incredible things happening. He has accepted the role of the Mighty One."
And Hestian kind of looks confused and shocked for a moment as he says that. And Sieve says,
"May I introduce to you Verboden?"
And you just, I mean, you've seen this expression on Hestian's face before.
Oh, yeah.
As he just looks incredibly pissed. And he looks at you and says,
"Verboden? Again?
Hey there, Hestian. I made a promise to you, and here I am."
"So you remember our last encounters?"
"Every single one of them."
"Oh, joy." He kind of sits there for a moment, and then he looks over at Sieve, and he says,
"Why are we bothering with this farce?"
And Sieve kind of looks confused and says,
"I'm really not sure what you mean. Verboden is a dragon, and he meets all of the prerequisites. The prophecy seems to be fulfilled in him. He is the Mighty One. I believe it."
And Hestian looks at you and he says,
"And you are going along with all of this?"
"I'm not just going along with it. I feel like the prophecy is clear, and I don't know how you could deny that. Are you denying my role?"
"Perhaps I am."
Looking around, like, are there other dragons kind of starting to clue in on this conversation, or are we still kind of like having this?
There are definitely people in the room who are listening.
Okay.
It looks like a lot of the actual dragons have turned and are listening to the conversation, and some of the other people are starting to quiet their conversations and listen.
Okay.
So he said, "Perhaps I am."
Mm-hmm. "So you would openly deny, would you do the same for the three heirs? Because they have accepted me. Is this an issue for you?"
"Well, perhaps you should then be tested to ensure your claims are true, that you truly are the Mighty One."
"I don't see why I would need to be tested. I mean, it's been pretty clear from getting this approval from the three and all those who follow the prophecy. I mean, were you tested?"
"I wasn't really required to be tested, because I brought the Beacon of Light along with me."
"Well, we can talk about that later."
"Well, perhaps we should. But for now..."
He steps a little closer to you, and you can just see there's this, like, simmering rage in his eyes. But he leans in, and he says,
"Verboden, for our years and years of trials and fighting, I will pay you back one day. But today, run. Run while you still can."
And he steps back.
Verboden starts obnoxiously kind of laughing at that, like, where people could obviously hear him, you know, beyond just Hestian. "Oh, man. I was not expecting this, sort of pushback. I thought this would be a joyous occasion for the continued fulfillment of the prophecy. I mean, are you all seeing what's going on here with Hestion?
People are listening, kind of, you know, nodding their heads. Hestion just shakes his head and turns away from you and walks up to the three heirs. Steve puts a hand on your shoulder and he says,
I apologize for Hestion and his behavior. He's always been a cantankerous sort, but we truly believe that these are momentous times, and, well, in reality, his part is mostly done by bringing us the beacon. Now your part shall begin.
Yeah, he's reacting how I would have expected, so there's not really any surprise there, and if we're all working towards the same goal, then I can do my part.
That is wonderful. Perhaps it is time for us to take a rest and enjoy some of the food and the privileges of being here. We've had a long journey.
As he's saying this, Hestion steps back from the heirs, and Githam raises her hand and she says,
I believe it is wise what Hestion has said. We have accepted you, Verboden, as the Mighty One, but it is possible that not everyone in the Haven will accept you so quickly. There are many who have studied the prophecy and the different beliefs and texts that arise from the prophecy itself, and I think it would be wise for you to take up a quest of sorts to prove yourself as the Mighty One.
Okay, well, what kind of quest would you have me complete?
They look at themselves for a moment, and then they nod, and Githam says,
there is a specific issue that we have been facing. As you know, one of the figures of our people's religion, Heartfang, has been his grave has unfortunately been blocked by a monster of some kind. Those who have gone to worship at his grave have been stopped, in some cases even killed, and perhaps this would be a good way for you to show your power, show yourself as the Mighty One, and we can move past this.
Okay, well, sorry to hear about your issues there. Have there been any details as to what it might be that would help me in taking care of this issue for us?
Those who have returned have claimed to have seen a large humanoid-shaped monster of flame and smoke. We are unsure. We've been unable to find it, but perhaps if you go and maybe even take a worshiper or two along with you, you may encounter this beast.
And these survivors of these attacks, is there a single one I could potentially interview and provide some more details?
Yes, we can probably find one for you to interview.
Okay.
Hestion just shakes his head and he says,
quite a bit of preparation for the Mighty One. Surely you could go and sweep this monster away.
Well, Mighty Hestion is more than just brute strength, so.
Ah, yes. Perhaps you're afraid.
Do I look afraid to you?
Right now? No. Although you should be.
Okay. Well, threats aside, I feel like I'm able to take on this task, and how soon should we handle this for everyone?
Ladia looks over at Githam, and they speak for a moment, and then they're kind of conferring, and Hestion just says,
this is a waste of time. Let's do it right now. Why not?
with how Hestine's kind of butting in here, I'm looking up at the other, like the three. Are they kind of like, yeah, kind of go along with his outbursts, or do they seem also kind of annoyed with him?
Let's go ahead and get a roll for that.
Okay.
How about probably influence? Just kind of reading the room here.
Okay. That's a zero.
Okay. Yeah, they're kind of letting him lead this conversation, but you don't get any real read on them, if it's because they're deferring to him or just letting things play out.
Okay.
Steve, he kind of shakes his head and he says,
"Forgive me for intruding, but we are all tired and we've had a long journey, not just here to get to the capital, but to get to the Haven at all. Perhaps it would be wise for us to take a rest for the evening, and then we can proceed on this mission in the morning. I assume that I will, of course, go with Verboden, and Hestian, you seem to have quite the belief that this should be easy, so perhaps you should come along and see your fears removed by Verboden and his mighty works."
Hestian screws up his face a little bit and says, "Fine, I'll come along." Githam nods and says,
"Yes, I believe that this would be wise. Everyone needs to rest, and your group may leave in the morning. Verboden, we will attempt to find a survivor of one of these attacks and have them sent to you. We also would request that you bring no more than 3 of your companions along with you, as this is not a test for them, but a test for yourself."
"I agree to these terms."
"Wonderful. Let the test of the Mighty One commence."
And people around the room kind of are getting into this and they start cheering and, you know, there's some kind of pounding of claws and scales on, you know, on the ground, and people are cheering about it. And a couple of the humanoid figures actually kind of step back from the tables and transform. And there's a lot of dragons in this room.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is going to feel really weird for having such a long time of having been around dragon like this. So like that has got to feel crazy.
Yeah. You haven't actually seen any of the three heirs, you know, in their draconic forms, but you know them from old. There are a few other figures in this room that you recognize. Mm-hmm. There are quite a few dragons that you don't recognize.
Okay.
They look a decent amount younger, you know, also a decent amount smaller than you.
Mm-hmm.
But there's definitely, I mean, there's probably 24 dragons in this room right now that you know are dragons.
Okay. Percentage-wise, like how many of them are like chromatic looking?
Probably 80%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
There's not a lot of metallic dragons present, but there are some.
Okay.
But I would say just lore-wise, Ferillion, there's really no difference between chromatic and metallic dragons.
Okay.
I don't – the whole like, you know, chromatic or evil, metallic or good thing, there is probably a little bit of just personality-wise that plays into that, but there's no – you know, that isn't very strong in Rillian.
Cool.
All right. Anything else you want to do or say in here before being led off to rooms?
No, I think, yeah, getting some rest, food all sounds really good, because you know, while I'm putting on the front of being confident, I definitely don't like the fact that Hestine is pushing this. And also having to bring some of the dragonkin with me, it sucks for them because we've been through all this and then now they're getting dragged in as well. So,
yeah. All right, so you are led to a suite of rooms, and you know your dragonkin have rooms alongside of you, but yours is very large and ornate. you're led into these rooms, and then food is brought, kind of all sorts of things are brought by dragonkin, you know, and servants to just make you comfortable and, you know, whatever you need. So
I'll stop one of them and kind of lean into like, hey, excuse me, y'all don't happen to have any rat issues around here, do you?
Oh, no, honored one, of course not. We keep the halls very clean.
Okay, good to hear. Just had a check.
Okay. Have you had bad experiences with vermin?
Yeah, maybe I'll tell you one of these days, but thanks for getting me settled here. This looks all looks wonderful.
Oh, of course, honored one.
They kind of bow and leave. So yeah, you're free to, just rest, whatever you need to do. If you want to have any conversations or pick who you're going to take with you, any of that.
Yeah, so a couple things I want to take care of. First, I want to look around the room and check in for any, like, potential passages in here that I'm not aware of. I don't want to be snuck up on. So I would first spend some time doing that. And then after that's done, I want to talk to Dror, Krim, Moont, and Amp.
Individually or together?
I would say together.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'd gather them.
Okay. Probably an investigate check to kind of do a check over these rooms to see if you can find any hidden passages or anything.
Okay. That is a 3.
Okay. Yeah, you are looking through the rooms, and you do, in fact, find a door that has been kind of concealed behind the bed. It looks like it has a, you know, kind of a hidden switch to be opened from this side. Are you going to open it?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. You open it, and it looks like there's kind of a darkened hallway that continues on into the mountain, and you can see there's another switch on this side.
Okay, so there's a way in and out. Okay, I won't really go too far in there, just knowing that it's there. I don't want to alert anybody to there also. Potentially somebody is in there. So I'll close that and then take note of that, and then I'll go round up the others to have a conversation.
Okay. A couple of things you would have seen just kind of on the inside of that door, you know, in the hallway, there were a couple of packs that were hung on hooks, and then, you know, some weapons and things.
So kind of like a bug out bag kind of things.
Yeah, that's kind okay. of what it looks like.
Got it.
All right, so you gather the 4 of them, and you know, they all kind of gather together and go for it.
Okay. Hey, everybody. First, I want to say that I'm so happy that we're all here together, and want to kind of go through the next bit of things with you here, as with this test that they have put before me. I do need to take a few of you with me, and just wanted to converse about that a bit. Dror, I would like you to stay with those who are staying here. You've shown a lot of bravery in our travels, and I really can't really think of anybody better that I would trust to making sure that they're doing okay here. I don't expect any issues, but you never know. I mean, it wasn't too long before we passed by the Army of the Gods, so would you accept this?
Yes, I'll stay here. I'll do what I can to protect those you're leaving behind. I got a funny feeling about this place.
Well, clue me in. Any alarm bells going off for you? What are you thinking?
There's a whole lot of my people doing a lot of work. So a whole lot of their people can sit around and do nothing.
And as he says that, Munt kind of looks alarmed and puts a hand on his shoulder and says,
"No, Dror, that is a very negative way to view this."
Dror just kind of, shakes his shoulder and he says, "I'm not making any firm judgments here. I'm just giving my observations."
Well, that is a true observation. A part of this, too, is I wanted a moment. I don't know where things are going, so I wanted to have a bit more of an honest conversation with you all. I spoke to you a bit Krim back in the woods as we were leaving our captors, and Muntu shared a bit with me as well. Amp, I appreciate your honesty. I have a bit of a past with these dragon, if you've caught any of this reaction, but there was a time when, as you know, the dragon ruled with Heartfang as their leader, and he was, man, I don't know how to even put this without you experiencing what he was like. He cared for nobody but himself, and much of the world was built on the backs of others, and with cruelty and disrespect. Not all the dragon were this way, but many of them feared him, and some went right along with what he did. I was not one of those. And through this, I ended up betraying the dragon. Someone came to me with an option, and I'm not saying it was best, but it felt like the right thing to do at the time. And through this, I was cursed by the dragon to live, to remember, and then to forget. And all those around me to forget me as well. Now the dragon, remember. So Hestian, who we met here recently, it was only probably within a day of when I met you, had my last encounter with him. He stole something that could break this curse of mine, and he obtained it by means of kidnapping my friends, their wives, their children, and threatening to push them off of a cliff. That is who he is. And my fear is this place is not what they say it is. I don't know the intent of these other dragon, but I know him, and I worry. I know I've said I'm the Mighty One. Moon, I'm sorry. I know what you believe, but I don't know if I can believe a prophecy, but I know what I have to do, because they just keep coming and they keep hurting people. Yenra too. She promised she would fix it, but she didn't. He just kind of sits and puts his head down in his hands.
They sit silently for a moment. And then Munt says, "Thank you for sharing all of that. That's a lot to process. I understand that your experiences have been hard, and they may have given you a negative view of these other dragon, but I would ask, with the full honesty that I've just walked into this myself as well, but I've lived my entire life with stories and with prophecies and with hopes, the hopes of my people for something better. I would just ask you to keep an open mind, and perhaps this is really all meant to be. And if there are any troublemakers or those with wrong intentions here, perhaps the Mighty One is meant to clear them out as well."
"Well, I can hope for that. I can tell you I'll always fight for it. Well, with all that said, I need to have a few of you go with me, and I am concerned of what we're walking into. I don't know the true intentions of Hestian in the short term. Long term, he wants me to die. There's no doubt about that. And for those of you now who are had the pleasure of knowing me, it puts you in danger. And for that, I'm sorry. But hopefully we can work together, and I want to hope it, but maybe there's hope for a change."
Munt nods, and he says,
"I do not fear danger. I believe I walk in Rin's grace, and if I am to die, that will be what I am called. But for the rest of you, I will not make that choice for you. You must make it on your own."
Krim, she nods and says,
"I really don't know what help I can be, but I, of course, will come along."
Amp just nods, and he looks around the group, and he says,
"As long as my family is kept safe, I'm in it."
So they, and then Dror He shakes his head and he says,
"Everything that you're saying about Heartfang goes directly against what I've been taught, what I've been raised to believe. Perhaps there's something to what you're saying. And perhaps you completely misunderstood him. But I know that I'm here. I know that these children need somebody to watch over them, and I'll do what I can."
That's what I trust, Dror. I mean, there's all these people that have lived and come and gone, and none of it matters. You matter. Who's with us matters.
All right, well, is that enough talk? I'm getting hungry.
All right.
You return back to your room, and eventually, after some time, there is a knock on your door.
Oh, come in.
A man sticks his head in.
"Excuse me, do you have a few moments for us to chat?"
Sure, is there a group with you?
"No, it's just me alone."
"Okay, yeah, come on in, and who do I have the pleasure of speaking with?"
He steps in and closes the door behind him. You can see that he's a, you know, probably middle-aged man, a human man, but he has a little bit more refined features than most humans you've encountered, and you'd probably be starting to pick up by this point that that's kind of one of the tells of these dragons when they have a distinctly human shape that they, you know, kind of return to often. They're pretty vain, and they're not, you know, their features end up looking a little more elven than pure humans.
Okay.
He steps in and he's wearing these dark blue robes that look like they have kind of scrawled words and letters written on them in Draconic. And he steps in and kind of bows his head to you a little bit. And he says,
"My name is Cloud Chaser. It's actually very exciting for me to meet you."
He walks over and he sticks out his hand.
Okay, can I cock my head, like, surprise the reaction, and go shake his hand?
He shakes it and then he steps back. He says,
"I've spent quite a bit of time and effort trying to uncover as much information about you as I can, about your various cycles, and to have you actually here is, well, it's a bit of a shock for me."
That's interesting. Are you a bit of a scholar? What's the reason for this pursuit?
"Well, I represent a group of dragons who, we are younger. We weren't alive back in the days of Heartfang's rule, and, well, to be honest, you're a bit of a legend to us. We are curious as to why you did what you did, but I think most of us believe that what you did was right."
Oh, man. Kind of like sit back and like sit down. Is there like a couch there or something? Or chairs?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I just kind of sit back on the couch and just kind of like just a look of disbelief at him. "Are you being for real?"
"I am. Like I said, I've done what I can to document and seek out the various things I can find about your cycles, and, well, to have you here and hopefully be able to tell me more would be just quite the thrill."
Do I get the sense? Do I feel like he's being honest with this? Like his intentions?
You're welcome to roll.
Yeah.
Probably influence again.
Yeah. I'm using that skill a lot. I should have taken it out. That's not too bad. That is a 2.
Okay. That would be a fail.
Okay.
Because he got a 5 on his roll.
Okay.
But I would let you kind of succeed with a cost here if you want to. The cost being, I think that he would know that you are not really believing him. Like, he would be able to read you in return.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, let's go ahead and go with that.
Okay.
Okay.
He seems like he's being honest. He seems like he's excited to meet you. And as you're evaluating him, he sits forward and he holds out his hands and he says,
I understand that there's probably a bit of skepticism on your part. You haven't been treated well by us dragon. I understand that, but I was not a part of those who cursed you. And, well, to be honest, your curse is fascinating, and there are some of us who just would like to study it and study you.
Well, I don't know if I would use the word fascinating, but I can see where you'd arrive at that. It's pretty awful, if I'm being honest. But yeah, this is the first time I've heard anybody say those types of things. So sorry if it's a little hard to believe, but yeah, I'll share with you.
Thank you. I guess I definitely understand that it's awful for you, but I also hope you understand that this is probably the single greatest piece of magic that has ever been done on Rillian. The effects of it, the effects on not just you, but the entire world around you as you walk through it, and people are shaped by your actions, and then they are removed from their minds. It's fascinating.
Yeah, it's quite the consequence of a choice. But you had asked why I did it. Would you like to start there?
Please, do you mind if I take some notes?
Sure, go ahead.
He pulls a kind of a journal out of his robes and pulls a pen out. And he seems ready.
Yeah, so I'll just, I don't know if you want me to RP it or just kind of like let you know. I'm essentially just giving him the rundown of Aked and Yindra, and really focusing on what it was like for everybody who wasn't Heartfang and who went along with him, and how he treated everybody, and really just hammer in on just that supreme rule and how they treated people, and that was the thing that just was not okay.
As you tell him that, he's taking notes, and as you kind of are getting closer to the end of it, he stops taking notes and he's just listening. And as you stop, he says,
and now, having seen the world that Yindra created after your actions, do you still believe you made the right choice?
I don't believe that she's making the right actions, but I also think that the story's not over.
It's very wise. And your memory, your cycles, how... I apologize, I just have to ask. How painful is it to be forced to walk alone through the world every time?
Well, I guess the good part of the benefit is most of the time I don't remember that's even happened. So I wake up, I have no memory of anyone in the past or who I am, and it slowly comes back, and a lot of the times I don't even actually remember the previous cycles. There might be nightmares or visions or bits and pieces, but a lot of times I don't. This time I'm fortunate enough and unfortunate enough to remember. I even came across somebody that I counted as a close friend, and he didn't know who I was. So yeah, that hurts.
Can I show you something?
Yeah, absolutely.
He pages to the back of his journal and he starts ripping out pages, and I assume, you're kind of seated on a little couch and there's probably a table in between the two of you, and he starts arranging these pages on the table in front of you, and it appears to be kind of a timeline, and there are scribbles and notes marked and all sorts of things, and he starts pointing out details of your cycles, things that he has managed to find out. There's big gaps. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have full information, even some things that probably weren't actually you. But he's kind of, you know, showing you at least a vague outline charting your life. And he says,
I don't know if you've ever had the chance to think about it in this broad of a way. Can you see the thread here? How your life, your cycles, have directly impacted, really, in technological advancement, in the way that people have formed civilization, even the towns that have been formed, the people that have lived, really, in itself has been formed and shaped by your actions. Me and my friends would even go so far as to say it's been shaped by your actions more than any other person, including Yndra herself.
Just kind of sitting there and taking all this in, and leaned forward and kind of individually start picking up pieces of paper and kind of going through it, and like honestly just like tears, you know, coming in my eyes and hearing and seeing this. It's not a perspective he would have had before, so he looks up at him and, oh man, Cloud Chaser, this is immeasurable beyond words what you have here.
I'm glad that it's of some value to you. I understand you have a task set before you, and I won't take any more of your time this evening, but when you return, I cannot express to you how grateful me and my friends would be if we could fill in some of the gaps here.
Oh, that sounds incredible. I can't tell you how much I'd like to have a friend who remembers.
We do remember. That may be the only benefit of the curse. It doesn't affect us. And although Yndra pushed us all out, her power is waning and we are returning. And not everyone hates you.
Well, thank you for your kind words.
He takes a deep breath. And then he kind of looks at the papers and he says,
I do apologize. Those are really my only notes on this. Can I have them back?
Yeah, sorry about that. You take these back.
He takes them back and kind of sticks them back in the journal.
Well, I will take this back to my friends and we will prepare this in a bit more of a proper manner, and hopefully we will be ready for whenever we are able to have that interview.
All right, I look forward to it. Hopefully I'll see you soon.
He stands and he bows to you again, and then he walks out.
I close the door slowly behind him and just taking this in, and I go and just kind of sit on the couch for a bit and reminisce through those times that I can remember.
Thank you for joining us in Tales of the Forsaken as we explore Rillian and see just how deep the rabbit hole goes here. We hope that you're enjoying listening to it as much as we are enjoying making it, and we'd love it if you would join our Discord, talk to us about it, and share it with your friends. Thanks.